Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
So, whenever in Big Dave, Sturcio had the time of his fucking life, was the theme of that. We joking, you know. But no, he helped me out and tremendously, and I can't thank him enough for that. So,
yeah. How do you feel about that, Mark for life? Huh? Giving you a run for your money, pal. What's up, everybody? Dave Destruction Sturcio here with another episode, episode 11 of Destruction 101. I am your host, the only guy here, and I am going to do my thing for the now 11th straight week. Episode 10 is climbing over around 12,000 to 15,000 listens, downloads, subscriptions, all that good stuff, so keep that up. Keep following me on all my social media. I think, you know, you're probably tired of me already, and that's totally cool, as I said. People will get inspired by it, or people will just kind of delete me, and that's totally cool too. I have a lot of friends, I have a lot of followers, and it's not going to hurt my feelings if you go away. I probably won't even notice, to be honest, unless you're a really good friend. So thank you for that. Thank you for all the 5-star reviews. I do definitely need more of those. I would really appreciate if we can get up on those. We're at like 24 5-star reviews. It does help. Believe it or not, like you think just leaving a review is whatever, but consider like iTunes the Yelp of podcasting. So the more better, that made sense, the better reviews I get, the more people will find me in their searches. So that's a big deal to me, especially, you know, if you're trying to up and come and you're trying to make it in the podcast land. If people are searching for wrestling and entertainment and pro sports podcasts, and your name pops up, and that's big. I mean, you're going to get listeners. You're going to get followers. My Twitter has been exploding. If I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to go back and listen. When I first started my this podcast, I think I had like 550. And now I'm at like 795. So that's like 200 plus in like, 2 months? So I think it's pretty cool. You can follow me at Dave Sturch on Twitter. It's all about the guys that like retweet your stuff and like your stuff. Like, for instance, the other day I went to the movies and I saw, what'd I see? Logan, which, oh my God, blew me away. And I'm not the biggest of the big X-Men fan. Like, I do watch it and I've seen them all. But this one was just getting so many good reviews and I was like, I have to go see this thing. I just have to see what it's all about. Shout out to Luke Hawks, who gets stabbed through the chin and through his fucking top of his head. It was badass. I talked to him right after it. I sent him a message. I said, dude, that's badass. Even if you're an extra in a movie, you know, you get a pivotal scene like that. And then I know he's in the upcoming F8 movie, Fast and Furious 8, or the Fate and the Furious, whatever they're calling it now, which blows me away that they're still going. And I think they will still go. That's the kind of franchise, you know, between some of these movies that have to stop, like Saw. I heard Saw's coming out with an 8th, and I'm like, I stopped watching after like 3, so I really don't even know what else happens in the series. And Friday the 13th, when I was a kid, you know, that was cool, but, you know, again, they're not the most interesting movies in the world because they're made in the 80s, and like, I think the Freddy vs. Jason movie, I, you know, a lot of people shit on it. I think it was great. I don't know, that's just me. Yeah, so what was I? Oh, yeah, so I was talking about Logan. What was I? Oh, yeah, so I took a picture, a little selfie with Dave Bautista, who had the Guardians of the Galaxy poster outside the movie theater. So I took a selfie with him, and I posted it, and I said, I met Dave Bautista today, and I tagged him in, and I said, he was nice. He was quiet, but he was nice, you know, just joking around. He retweeted it, liked it a couple times, and all of a sudden his disciples all liked it, and I just started gaining followers. It's really all it takes. And I told Money Morales that. I said, it doesn't really do anybody's justice when you like it. But when you retweet it to your followers, and it's kind of like a chain letter if you think about it. Like you get it once and like retweet to all your – or send to 10 friends and, you know, you'll get good luck for the rest of your life. You remember those stupid things? But it's really – it's all about that. Like you get a retweet from a celebrity, you're going to start making some noise. So every time Ryback does it, he's got a million followers. Batista has a million followers. I tweeted out to Eric LeGrand about the WWE thing, him getting the Warrior Award. He's got a lot of followers. So – it definitely, it's not, you're not using them as public recognition, but they're recognizing you. But on the flip side, you do realize that you're blocked by certain people. I was reminded that I was blocked by CM Punk, and I think I talked about that. But I also was reminded that I was blocked by Cole Beasley, wide receiver of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm very upset about this. This one hits home. But I think I really, like, tore him a new asshole one game after he dropped, like, three balls and fumbled once. And I was just like, you ruined my fucking Thanksgiving, you piece of shit. So I think he blocked me after that. So whatever. He'll never be a listener or a follower. But, yeah, social media is where it's at. I've always been an advocate on that. And I stand behind it because it's true. I mean, you can't market yourself any better than when you market yourself on social media. I think it's one of those things where You have to. And there's no more like, yeah, you know, I see a lot of these promoters, Rob Fury being one of them, and he won't get mad that I'm calling him out on this, but he's one of those guys that post their towns like madmen. Like, just go out with a street team, put posters on walls and posters on street poles and posters in diners, and then I go rip them all down and, not lying, joking. But yeah, no, so like that's the one way to do it, the old school way. But then there's the new school way where it's just social media crazy. You know, if I promote a product like this podcast or like WrestleCon coming up, I'll tag a couple wrestlers in WrestleCon. They'll re-like it, retweet it, all this other shit. And guess what? Your tweet is the brunt of everything. So I think it's, again, I think it's very important to do social media. Like, again, sometimes it's overkill and that's totally cool. But sometimes it's just trying to make a name for yourself. So anyway, WrestlePro. Huge success this past weekend. I had a ball. I really do thank Kevin and Pat for the opportunity to kind of, I haven't heard my music since September, not in a big stage, or not if it's not in my headphones at the gym, I don't hear it. So the fact that they gave me my own entrance, I got to greet the crowd, I got really excited. That rush, man, it's still the same. It really is still the same. And whether you're wrestling or you're managing or you're sitting down to commentary or you're just going in there to hype the crowd, it's like no other. Like the crowd just went, they were really loud, and I was really happy. Maybe because I was the first thing and the show was starting, so I guess I can contribute that too. But I just think it's just something that's just awesome, and it's always a great feeling. But yeah, I went out there to hype up the show, get everybody going. I think it was one of those events that it just had a good feel to it. And I'm going to tackle every match from top to bottom because I think it deserves it this week. And, you know, I get my podcast link on the WrestlePro website. So I think it's only appropriate. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to take a sip of this ZV. Hold on. They're not a sponsor, but I like it anyway. You can get a free six pack if you go, ZV.com/conversations, I think. That's for Conversation with the Big Guy with Ryback and Pat Buck. But anyway, so yeah, this match from top to bottom, I got to meet Bruce Pritchard, such a nice guy. It's a good guy to know. He's also in the creative direction that Impact Wrestling is going in between him, Al Snow, my friend Pat Kenny, or Simon Diamond. These guys are all going to be going forward with the making Impact great again. And I'm truly excited because I see, you know, obviously the opportunities are arising for my friends. So it's a really big deal. So anyway, yeah, Bruce Pritchard, awesome. The first match, the pre-match thing, after I hyped it up, I got to be the ring announcer for Talon and Valerio Lamorte, who was out there with Casey Cattell. Casey Cattell, another one of those people that I think can find her niche in WrestlePro as a valet, and if she wants to wrestle, those days will come. I could see her in a vanity, like, scrapping it together, or Beatrice the Barbie Killer in a triple threat. You know what I mean? Like, those are the cornerstone chicks that we got going on at WrestlePro, and I'm very proud of all three of them for what they're doing. Vanity's been doing it a little longer. Rin looks better by the day, dropping weight like crazy, and Casey's finding her groove. So I think those girls are definitely going to make some waves eventually. Yeah, so the pre-show match, Talon versus Valerio. Talon, last time he was out there, was in Brooklyn, and he had like a fucking army with him. I mean, they were so deafening loud. So it kind of worked in his disadvantage this time. Valerio scored that win. Habib and CPA was the best of five series, and this was match five. It had a great feel to it. They've changed it up every single time, which I really can commend them for that. Every single time they went out there, they had a different style of match, and it was just it was different, and I loved it. This time, you know, you saw Habib fly to the outside with the Habib's knees, and then you saw like CPA hit what he's calling the Wall Street Destroyer, but you know, the Canadian Destroyer. Like, let's not forget, this kid can wrestle. You know, he's been wrestling for a long time. Don't let the gimmick fool you. You know, yeah, I know he's the awkward silent tax man, but it's like he can go. So, and I hope he gets more opportunities going forward, and I think he will. As far as wrestling related, you know, a lot of his matches are gimmicky. You know, take off the tie, I get it. Like, I think him and Maxwell Jacob Feinstein played a game of Guess Who. You know what I mean? So it's like yes, it's funny, but like this kid can go, and I think you're gonna see that really quick. That he can bring it every time. Matt McIntosh versus Shark Boy. Shark Boy, I haven't seen in a long time, and meeting him personally, very cool dude. Matt McIntosh, again, time and time again. I can't say enough about this kid. Like, he just brings it every single time he's there. And it's one of those things where it's effortless. It's effortless, man. And he deserves to be where he is right now, and he deserves to be booked everywhere. And that's why I'm excited to see him at Fireborough. I'm excited to see him at Battle Club. He is getting out there and getting the recognition he deserves. So, match was great. Matt McIntosh wins with a low blow. So, that's that. Dirty and Durable versus the Taboo Crew with Gino Gatz, which you'll hear from in a little bit for his third installment of Kicked in the Head and Vanity. Dirty and Durable, I can't say enough about because they're really good dudes outside the ring. I've talked to Sean Donovan plenty of times just recently about a lot of ideas that we have for just ways to market yourself and ways to really get this product over because we care that much. You know, it's one thing if you just you show up with your bag, you put your bag down, you change, you go do your match, you shake hands, and you leave. You know, it's another thing to have a mindset where this is your baby just as much as it is Pat's, because we're still in the first year and we all have a chance to make it better time in and time out. Like, so it's a good thing to have guys like Sean Donovan on board who ate a lot of shit, in my opinion, ate a lot of shit in IWF for the greater part of his career. And I think he's hitting his peak right now. Believe it or not, I think Sean Donovan has hit his prime right now. And he's been in the business for 15 years. So I know it takes a long time. I know there's a lot of experience. And I'm sure he's had a lot of great matches in his time anywhere else he's been. But I got a feeling that going forward between the bookings with WrestlePro and BBWF and other places and Battle Club eventually, you know, and even Tier 1 eventually. Like, this guy, I'm going to help him get out there because he's a good guy and he does right by everybody. And I think that he's got a bright future ahead, and he's still young. To me, he's still young. Same thing with his partner. Those guys gel amazing. And the Taboo Crew, obviously, I can't say enough about Micah Jenkins. Kid just, he gets better every time he's out there. Craig is one of those guys that, like, he picks his spots, but when he hits those spots, man, he hits them hard. His finishing move, the Deal Breaker, is still something I just love to watch every time. It's just that whole crew. It's good to have, like, a nice stable in WrestlePro, along with the, you know, the Apple Corps. You got these guys, the Taboo Crew, and it's a really good mix. You know, you got the valets, you got the little weasel manager, you know, you got the loudmouth manager, and then you got the talent and the skill and the quickness of Micah Jenkins, and you got the bruiser. So, I mean, like, you really get a good, you know, variation of everything. What was next? Oh, so Dirty and Durable lose that match. Taboo Crew gets the win. Craven versus Chris Payne. Now, obviously, I can't say enough about Craven. I've been with him since day one, literally June 12th, 2012. We both stepped into the Creative Pro New Jersey school when it opens its doors at the same time. So I've been with him forever. His fight is just, it's unbelievable. His tolerance of pain is just, and no pun for Chris, but like his tolerance for pain is just, it goes above and beyond anybody that I've ever seen. Like, the kid is just, he's like a freaking rubber band. Like, he just keeps bouncing back. And Chris Payne, obviously, who probably won't say it, but he wrestled with pneumonia. Okay, like, he was feeling like shit all day long, and he looked like garbage, and I kept reminding him, dude, you look like shit, you know. And yeah, wrestled with pneumonia, and they got both, they got through it. I think Craven rolled his ankle halfway through the match. So it was like, it wasn't their best, and they know it. You know, things were rushed. Things were a little sloppy, but you got one guy with pneumonia, one guy with one foot. You know, it's, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, they still made everything look believable. They, Chris Payne still throws bombs, and Craven still flies. So it's like those guys are just Energizer bunnies, and they just keep going and going. Chris Payne scores the victory there. Fala Ba taking on Nikos Rikos with Nikki Adams, who's just going by Nikki now, and Buster Jackson with Shining Edward Jackson. Shining Edward Jackson out there for two matches in a row, so we kind of had to just do a lap to the backstage, grab Little Buster, and get on out there. Great match start to finish. Fala obviously coming off his Impact Wrestling tapings. He's got a lot of steam behind him. He picks up the victory on this one. Again, I can't say enough about this guy because he's just one of those guys that just are incredibly gifted in and out of the ring. Like he's just another good dude. He deserves everything that's about to hit him, and I really truly think good things are coming for Fala Ba. Same thing. Same thing for Nikos Rikos. I mean, kid's been working hard for a couple of years now. He's in the best shape I've seen him. Same thing with Buster Jackson. These guys just keep growing. They're not stopping. They want to look the part. Not to sidetrack, but I think, you know, Kevin Owens actually tweeted out something the other day, and I kind of responded to him. He probably didn't see it. It doesn't really matter. But he said, like, I'm glad all those guys on SmackDown are wearing T-shirts now. I'm glad I set the trend. And I'm like, I replied, like, yeah, you kind of set the trend for the entire indie circuit, too. Like, I'll admit, for my last two matches, a Battle Royal appearance and the match against Chris Avery Kuehling, I left the shirt on. A cutoff, you know, cutoff shirt on. Wasn't for the look. It was just because I was feeling insecure about myself. I didn't think I looked my best. So I kind of felt like, I don't look that great, so I'm going to rock this. And that's whatever, because, I mean, again, I feel like my arms were in decent shape, so you expose those. You're supposed to enhance what you have and then hide what you don't. In wrestling, it's a weird cosmetic business where if you don't get it, you don't get it. But So now the indies as a whole, I just feel like everybody's wearing a T-shirt. Like there's a lot of them, and I think that people need to get in the gym a little more. They have to look the part. I don't care if you're 6'7" but you look like a bag of shit. Like that's not good for anybody. And that goes for trainers too, man. So many trainers, they look like garbage. Like look at Pat, Mo, Kevin, the Bodies, Moff. Like these are monsters and chiseled out of stone, and they look the part. I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna take your school or you seriously if you look like just 10 pounds of garbage in a fucking 5 pound bag. You know what I mean? Like it's just one of those things where it's just like, go away. Just go away. You're corrupting the youth. And I'll get back to that a little later if I feel like touching on it. But anyway, the next match, Delroy Alexander versus Alex Reynolds. Reynolds has obviously been on the circuit now with us for a long time between the previous company and this company. He continues to get better. He reminds me of Shawn Michaels. It's just one of those things where he's just very full of himself. He has that mentality. He's got the look. He's got the the hairy chest, which is pretty funny. That we always put over on commentary. Delroy is just one of those dudes that have just been, he's been tearing it up for a long time. And I think that it's one of those things where, you know, give him a little bit more time and he's going to keep piling on these great matches. Alex Reynolds scores the victory on that one. Then the championship ladder match, Bowens and Wayward. Man, I tell you, this is easily one of my favorite matches I've ever called. One, because I've never called a ladder match. Two, because I know two of these guys like the back of my hand because of the rivalry. And they're just, you know, good friends of mine behind the scenes. But like these guys really brought it, man. I mean, they kicked the shit out of each other. They used that ladder in every way you could possibly use a ladder. You know, obviously job security and Chris Avery Kuehling, they all get involved. And the match as a whole was just top to bottom. 5 stars. I don't care what like flub up there. What, like, honestly, the belt got stuck for a minute, but they made it work, man. They made it work. And, you know, they both come down with it. And, like, I've never seen that. I've never seen a tug of war for a title, you know, not on the ladder. Like, these are all new and different things. Like, I think it's pretty fascinating that they came up with this or Kevin came up with this. Whoever booked this match, it was something special. And if you weren't there to see it, you missed out. And, you know, you'll have to wait till the footage comes back. But it's one of those things where, if you weren't there, you definitely missed out. Then we went to intermission. We came back. MCW's Ken Dixon took on Chris Steeler, Johnny Cash, Max Caster, Hush Hands Up, and Hot Dog Starks. Hot Dog Starks made his Rawway debut, in which Kevin said, if they don't cheer for you, you're fucking done. You're done in Rawway. We'll see you in Brooklyn, because he's a New York kid. as a joke, obviously. Chris Dealer, I'm glad he was there. Johnny Cash retired for the fucking ninth time. Max Caster, good friend of mine, worked with him over at Sirius. He still works over there. Ken Dixon, can't say enough about him. Great, great dude. And he's been really cool. Talking to him leading up, you know, getting his music, trying to get his all, you know, production work all together. But yeah, definitely a cool dude. Who won that? Yeah, Ken Dixon actually scored the victory with that one. There was a funny moment on commentary, which you'll hear, I guess, eventually when it comes out. But I'll just put it out there now because it's probably going to get out of here faster if I say it. There was a moment of the match where both Johnny Clash and Hush found themselves on the outside of the ring. And Johnny Clash, you know, was grabbing his mouth as if, like, he got kicked or punched in the mouth. So and Hush was grabbing, like, the back of his neck on the other side of the ring, but in my vantage point where I can hear him. And I said, Johnny Clash on the outside of the ring looking for his teeth. He might have got his teeth knocked out. And then there's Hush on the other side of the ring looking for his hearing. And I just fucking, like, it was like, boo. You know, just like total, I don't even know. Like, it just felt like the wind got sucked out of me. Eddie had to take his headset off and start laughing. Like, I'm like, I'm going to hell. There's a spot in a bar stool in hell for me. So sorry, Hush. I know, as a sorry Hush, as if you're gonna fucking hear it. So anyway, after that, yeah, Ken Dixon wins that one. Beefcake Charlie versus Joey Ryan. Very awkward, awkward match. They knew it was gonna be awkward, and that's exactly what they're shooting for. So, Beefcake Charlie, obviously, he's just a mountain of a man, dude. There's just so much person to him. It's disturbing, especially because I'm like underneath, like kind of like my vantage point is just looking up at him the entire time. And there's just a lot of person. There's a lot of body. Joey Ryan obviously steals the show with his little, you know, his lollipops, and he brings out a whole bag of lollipops. So everybody thought it was tacks or nails or screws or whatever. It wound up being lollipops to end that one. The tag team gauntlet match, I can't say enough about the bodies, obviously, because they're just all world. But a team that really impressed me, again, the Beach Bums, man. Like, they are bringing it every single month, along with the Graysons. These young teams that WrestlePro are creating is something special because they're all learning they're learning more by the week, obviously, at training. But then, like, each match they have, they're incorporating their personalities a little more. It's not like spot, 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 spot. You know, like, it's really good to see these guys and really good to see them gelling as a team. So hats off to those two teams. Team Hispania goes without saying. They're the hardest working dudes. They're at every practice. They're just awesome guys. Massage Envy, growing on me, because again, I wasn't a Creative Pro New York guy, so I really didn't know who they were at first, but they grew on me. They're a funny act, and you know, their moveset is just fantastic. So the bodies retain the title on that one. The main event, now this is just, it was one of those things where I'm just like in utter disbelief at what I'm witnessing and what's happening. Moth came out with Monster Mac and Homicide. And, you know, I saw that my cat is literally, he's learned to open doors, and that's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. This cat, my cat, I there's no more shutting him out. There's like, I'm coming in when I feel like it. Anyway, back to the action. Yeah, Monster Mac and Dan Moff came out with Homicide, and those guys, just they not only looked the part, they just looked like they're going to try to hurt you in every which way possible, and they did that. You know, Kevin, Pat, and Mo were in for it, you know, and Kevin and Mo coming off their Impact Wrestling things, and Kevin with a new contract, you worry about this stuff. You're like, okay, how much could they do? You know, they have potential offers. Kevin's got a deal. You know, how much are they going to let go? But here, next thing I know, Kevin's in the bleachers throwing Homicide down the stairs. So it's like, what the fuck is happening here? Pat's inside the ring working with everybody. Mo gets thrown through a table. Like, it's just one of those things, just all out melee. And then the Hit Squad and Homicide, the evil family, they're being called, take apart the whole ring. I mean, now and this is definitely going to be an issue going forward. I know we're going to have to find a new rope for this ring, because here Monster Macus pulls a blade out of his pocket and starts cutting up the ring so they can take the mats off. And now you got everything's exposed, the wood's exposed, the beams are exposed. The whole ring just looks like utter chaos. You know, they oh my God, Kevin and, not Kevin, Pat and Mo suplex Moff to the open steel beams and wood, and I'm just like cringing. I'm calling this, and I'm like, how are these guys? I'm dying, you know. Like, it's just it's insane, absolutely nuts, and it was fantastic. You know, they all fought their asses off. At the end, Pat like hit Moff with a wrench like multiple times. then chokes him out with a rope. Like, it was just, it was brutal. And I'm telling you, man, it was one of those moments where I'm like proud, so proud to stand up and see the melee and the carnage and know that I was able to call that. And it's just one of those things where you just look around, you see the fans' faces are all just like, oh my God, like what did I just witness? Like, this is insane. Like, well, what's going to happen next? Oh my God. And it all leads to our next show in Orlando. So we're going to take a break real quick. We'll get to a song. We'll get to Kicked in the Head with Gino Gotz. When we come back, I will discuss NFL free agency. It's something I definitely wanted to touch on. And we'll wrap it up from there. And at the end of the show, so you're hearing this now, at the end of the show, I usually play a song, and I will. But instead of when I say goodbye, I'm going to put a, like, a little bit of a pause, and then we're going to go right into the live for 15 or 20, whatever it was. You'll hear that if you want. Again, it's one of those things where it's hard not to do. It's not structured yet, so I really have to work on that, and then you'll hear your song, and we'll call it a day. But I'll be right back right after this.
This is week number 3 with Kicked in the Head with your host, Gino Gotz, exclusively here on Destruction 101 Podcast with Dave Destruction Sergio. You know, coming off this weekend at WrestlePro, it was a great, wonderful weekend for Gino Gotz and everybody involved with WrestlePro. But today, in Jersey, in the Northeast, Mother Nature kicked us in the ass. That bitch dropped about 12 inches of snow, slush, ice, and anything else we didn't want nothing to do with. But my problem's not with her. My problem is the youth of America. You lazy, good-for-nothing little sons of bitches. Stay in your house. You play your Xbox. You play your PlayStation. You play your computer games. Hell, you probably got an app on your phone that shovels your damn driveway for you to get some points and gold coins. Well, no. Back in my day, you took a shovel, your best buddies, you got $8, some cocoa, maybe some soup, and you had a good time. I want you little fuckers to go out there with a shovel, knock on that old lady's door, shovel her driveway, be thankful if she gives you a quarter, go in knowing you did a good job, and maybe you'll drop some weight, you fat freak. This has been Kicked in the Head with your host Gino Gotz. Can't wait to get to Florida, get away from you scuzzy iceberg snowden sons of bitches. Love you all. Remember, you're only as good as your last envelope. And baby, keep that hustle going.
Boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
Thank you, Gino Gotz, for your third installment of Kicked in the Head, and he couldn't be more spot on with you lazy shits out there. These kids, I swear to God, I'm in a school where there's fifth graders, so it's like 11, 10-year-old kids, but I think you should learn early on how to shovel, you know? Like, I think it's one of those things where you just need to learn it. Welcome back to Destruction 101, Episode 11. I hope you heard my little tribute to Anthony Bowens at the break, so it's something I came up with on my own. Through my heart, and again, can't say enough about those guys. They really brought it, and it was one of those things where it was like brought a tear to my eye as a friend and as a co-wrestler and just a fellow student of the game. So very happy with those guys. So NFL talk. As I'm recording this, Dallas makes another move to sign and fill a hole in the offensive line for the retirement of Doug Free. Which a lot of it's been happening a lot lately. Like, guys are like potential free agents, like DeMarcus Ware out of nowhere. Just like, you know, he had one suitor, I think, or two suitors, and he was like, you know what? The hell with this shit. I'm done. You know, so he just said, I'm done with it. It's over. I'm out. NFL free agency started last week, and like most other years, Dallas didn't really make a big splash day one. They're not big spenders. And I said this to my friend Ray the other day. I said, look at their roster right now. You're looking at Dak, Zeke, Witten, Williams, Dez, Beasley, their offensive line. Every single one of those guys was drafted by the Cowboys. You know, so that's just going to show you how good their drafts have been. You know, so I just don't think that they need to be big players in free agency. And when they are, usually it's a big bust. You know, we signed Brandon Carr 5 years ago. And I was excited, jazzed up. He's coming off of KC, you know, coming out of KC. He just wound up being, I guess he's durable. He didn't miss any games. He just got slower as it went on. And, like, we paid him a shitload of money, you know. So, like, his contract's up, and I don't think he's coming back. So, on day one, well, actually, it was before day one, the Giants went out and signed Brandon Marshall before free agency started. Not sure how that works as far as, maybe they agreed in principle and then made it official on Thursday. But the Giants made noise. The Eagles made noise, taking Alshon Jeffrey for a year. And I love these one-year contracts, man. It makes you earn your next one. Enough of this five-year shit where after year one or two, you just kind of trickle off and just kind of collect a paycheck. These one-year contracts are where it's at. The Eagles made a splash right there. I believe it was $9 million, but could earn up to $14 based on incentives. So catching touchdowns, catching passes, playing games, being there, not being hurt. Will earn you more money. The Patriots, it's disgusting. You know, they got Malcolm Butler still on their team, was a great standout corner, and they also now have Stephon Gilmore from Buffalo. So now, like, your corners are getting better. And then they make the trade of the trades and bring in Brandon Cooks from New Orleans. Now, Cooks, you know, he's been on a little bit of the decline, but you're with Tom Brady now, man. And you go from Drew Brees to Tom Brady, that's your career. Like, if you could retire in New England, like, that's what you could say to your kids. Like, yeah, I played for the Saints under Drew Brees, and then I played for the Patriots under Tom Brady. It's insane. You're playing with two of the greatest. You know, it's great, and he's a burner. So, like, that offense will just get better. They do lose Martellus Bennett. Obviously Gronk will be coming back next year, and hopefully he's in good health. You know, it's hard for him to stay on the field, which kind of it's upsetting because he's such a cool dude and he's just such a, you know, just a heartfelt baller out there, and he's always kicking ass. DeSean Jackson signs with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Watch out for Tampa next year, man. I mean, it's one of those things that they addressed a lot of needs in free agency, but it's one of those things where, you know, if Jameis Winston has his way, I mean, now you're looking at D-Jax and you're looking at Mike Evans on the other side. Sprinkling their running game, you know, they're not bad. They're not bad. And their defense was always like a sound defense. It's not the old defense, you know, Tampa Bay, who got into a Super Bowl, but it's one of those defenses where it's always gritty and keeping their offense on the sidelines. So, you know, good for Tampa. Like I said, Dallas, they made their splashes in day two. Signing Nolan Carroll from the Eagles, like, obviously, I mean, he's their worst corner. Dez used to abuse him. You know, you throw that ball up and he was just going over Carroll easily. They did sign a couple of guys. Terrence Williams is coming back. Bryce Butler coming back. These are a lot of things that I knew that they needed to address. They needed to address the team that's on their team now. They went 13-3 with the team they had. So why not try to get those guys back for another year of practice and another year of training camp? That's just my idea. That's just my recipe for something that could be a success. I mean, they do have a harder schedule coming up. The schedule will be announced officially in April, but you'll have, you know, you already know your opponents and which games are on the road, which games are at home. So they got a tough task ahead of them. So hopefully Dak and those guys can get set and, you know, go from there. But anyway, just one more thing about wrestling. Something that was brought up, you know, with a couple of our friends over, you know, at WrestlePro was the training aspect of professional wrestling. Now, I came up with Pat Buck, obviously, with, you know, PWS school turned, you know, Creative Pro New Jersey from day one. And for a couple months, we didn't even get to go into the ring. It wasn't allowed. Pat said and instilled in us that we had to earn the right to get in the ring. So we did a lot of chain wrestling, a lot of mat wrestling. It was a lot of dungeon type shit. And I'm grateful for that because you learn a lot more. You learn how to chain wrestle. You learn how to strike. You learn, you know, you might not be learning your flippy doos and all that shit, but that will come. If you're an athlete and you're athletic, that's the kind of shit that'll come. So again, the way I was training, I think it was like 2.5 months, we finally got in the ring and I couldn't bump for shit. I was very, very discouraged, very fast. I was not bumping right. I kept hitting my head, not tucking my chin. Like, there's just different things, different methods on how to fall in a ring. You'd be surprised. Like, you look like, all right, it's just falling. Like, it's not the hard, it's not the easiest thing in the world, that's for sure. But yeah, so there's a couple schools out there that claim to be, you know, premier schools. And, one of them being up in New York, Johnny Rods. And, you know, you could just log on to Kevin's Facebook for that story. But, another one, which is down south, is being taught. And I'm just watching these guys that go down there and they're coming back. Like, this is training, not big shows, training. They're coming back with like these red chests and bleed, literally blood coming out of their chest from getting chopped. And we all know what a chop is. It's the Ric Flair knife edge chop, and it hurt. The fact that you're throwing chops in practice, I don't know. It doesn't sit right for me. It doesn't sit well with me. I understand that it's part of the game, and I understand if you want to take it once, it makes sense, just to kind of get that shock value. Like, this is what it's going to feel like in the match. But you're literally taking new kids, new students who are trying to make a name for themselves in pro wrestling and bullying them. And that's the way I look at it. It's straight bullying, man. I don't see it any other way. I'm sorry. Like, there's no other way I can possibly describe you just taking kids' money to train down there and just kicking the shit out of them for pleasure. And Pat never did that. I got in the ring maybe 3 times with Pat in like match-type scenarios. He always took the best care of me. He didn't want to hurt his students. Why would you? These are your guys that are going to try to, you know, not me per se because it didn't really work out that way. But, like, these are the guys that you're going to mold to be your next stars for your company. You know, like, why treat them like shit? And it's sad because every time I'm down at WrestlePro to you know, the training school, I see new kids. Some kids have horror stories from where they're from. And I wish nothing but the best to all kids that are trying to make it in professional wrestling, okay? I really do. And I think it's one of those things that should be noted from me and quoted that I want you all to succeed. I just think you need to know the correct tools to succeed in it. I just think you need the right toolage. I think you need the right trainers. I think you need the right mentality. I think you need the right company. You know, this is obviously, yeah, I'm going to put over my company a million times over. And to become a wrestler, check out WrestlePROOnline.com. It might sound like a cheap plug, and maybe it is, but at the same time, if you're serious about this, don't fuck it up. You know, if you want this to be your dream, don't ruin it. It's silly. You know, I've gotten myself kicked out of that school twice, maybe like 1.5 times because of my attitude and then just shitty negativity. And that's what'll do it to you. Like, if you want to be negative, you're around a bunch of, like, I'm telling you right now, that WrestlePro roster is a family. It really is a family, and I can't thank them enough for supporting me and getting behind me and encouraging me to be better at what I'm doing currently right now. Like, I would love nothing more than to be in the ring and you know, kicking ass and learning more and being better at that, but I think I found my calling, and I think I found my spot. So, again, don't want to get too much details on who's who, but I did think just people need to be smarter. So, anyway, wrapping this up, because obviously we have that Facebook Live thing at the end. Like I said, very unstructured, very like I try to call people out as I read their questions or conversations. It's very all over the place. I need to come up with a method on how to get a better structure. A lot of stuff coming up. Obviously, you can follow me on all my social media at Dave Sturch, DaveSturch on Twitter. On Instagram at Dave Destruction, DaveDestruction. Same thing for Snapchat, just add a 2 at the end, Dave Destruction 2. And then Facebook.com/Destruction101, Facebook.com/Dave Destruction. You can find me all there. You can find out all the upcoming information for all the upcoming events at WrestlePROOnline.com. There's so much more coming up. I'm so excited. Next week, we're 1 week closer to WrestleCon. We will preview the matches. Since I officially got word that, you know, what we're really doing down there as far as a couple names that haven't been announced yet. So we'll get into all that. Enjoy the Facebook Live thing. Like I said, it's a little bit of a clusterfuck, but again, just trial and error as we go. So I'll see you guys next week.
Post game show is brought to you by Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
Destruction 101 Q&A live, Facebook Live. We are live on Destruction 101. I'm Dave Destruction. I have not recorded the episode yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go Facebook Live first and see if we can get anything going on that. I just got done writing a 7-page wrap-up of the weekend. A lot of stuff happened. A lot of great matches over the weekend. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to cover that. We're going to cover NFL free agency. Hi, Fala. We're going to cover all that stuff going forward. So we're going to join and start right now. Welcome, everybody, to Destruction 101 Facebook Live Q&A for five. I said 5 minutes last time. It did not last 5 minutes last time. It lasted about, I don't know, 25 minutes. So I couldn't even add it to the episode. So this time I'm going to actually try to keep it. I can see it's 3:03 on my little clock here. So I'll try to keep it to like 3:10, 3:15 max to add to this week's podcast. Last week's podcast, this is too professional for Facebook Live, Casey Cattell. Casey made her debut in Rawway over the weekend with Valerio Lamorte, Mr. Personality himself. And they had a great showing versus Talon. I wrote about it in the article that Talon didn't have the home field advantage this time. Last time he was there, he had basically all of Brooklyn and all the five boroughs cheering for him. So I think the home field advantage did not work to his advantage this time. So I wrote that in the article. Casey, I guess that's a joke that we could talk about just because it's out there. But that picture, yeah, ruined my day. So anyway, going forward, like I said, this past weekend for WrestlePro, it was something special. We had a lot of intense matches from start to finish. And I really appreciated the fact that Kevin let me go out there for pre-show and do my thing out there. Anytime I get to go in front of a live audience is awesome. I think it's one of those moments where no matter if you're wrestling or you're not wrestling, you're going to feel that rush. So I think the rush was real. And when I came out and I did my thing and just to hype the crowd up, you know, just to try to give him a little inside scoop. Because sometimes, you know, walk-up traffic goes into the arena and they don't know exactly, like, who's wrestling and what's happening, it's actually kind of good to give him a little taste. You know, I told him that, you know, there's going to be a ladder match for the WrestlePro Championship. I said that there was going to be a Shark Boy was going to debut. I said that we had a lot of cool people debuting, you know, the MCW... talent exchange was definitely going to work. I just saw Ken Dixon join. Phenomenal, phenomenal talent. If you're out there, book this guy. Gino Gotts, I saw you you joined up on this thing. I need you to send me over Kicked in the Head because I need to incorporate that. How his balls in his bedroom. I'm in the bedroom today. I've been punished. So in the bedroom today only because everybody's snowed in this house and some people have to work from home. So there's a battle station in the living room and a podcast station in the bedroom. So, Carlos Dixon was great. So from top to bottom, as I said, the first opening match with Valerio and, Talon. Valerio is something special. I knew it since the day he walked in, he was going to get it like right away. And he did, and he has. And now you add a manager and a stable like that, that will help, you know, that'll help him progress. I mean, he was, you know, I did hear, because I didn't do commentary live on that match, I got to kind of sit back as the ring announcer, and say that, you know, just listen to the crowd. And I heard a lot of Merry Men chants. So, sorry about that. Nobody forgets. I guess questions, yeah, they're coming in because Dan Sobey's a good friend of mine. If you were going to Vegas tomorrow and who would put a future bet on the next football season? Oh, well, that's easy. I would put it on the best team in the league. So that's that. You know, you know who that is. It's Kyle Busch ruining NASCAR with his brawl over the weekend. Rich, I'm going to be honest. Dude, I don't. You know I don't watch NASCAR, bro. I watch enough SportsCenter to know or think that I would have saw, you know, this Kyle Busch fight. I did not see it. So text me a link. Baza, gave you ever had sex to wrestling? Don't know what that means. Ken Dixon, get where he fitted in. Great locker room. Yeah, man, that's one of those things where that locker room, I mean, it's one of those things where I've been in other locker rooms, and they're cool. Have you ever had sex to wrestling? No, I have not. Sorry. It's one of those things that just don't do it for me. But anyway, yeah, so a great locker room. I've been in a lot of locker rooms, and some of them are so, like, just elbow to elbow tight, and everybody just in a rush to get out, you know. But this is the one where you can actually sit back, relax, go over your matches, like, really hang tight, and just really just relax. And it's stressful enough. It's a stressful situation to be in, and that's a locker room, because you got to kind of coordinate with everybody else on their finishes, on, you know, I don't want to experience or expose anything right now, but when you go over the matches in the back, you want to make sure everything's new and fresh, and you don't want to kind of duplicate what you've already seen. Mike McCarthy, Eddie Lacy to the Seahawks for 1 year. Smart move, man. I mean, these one-year contracts, I know I'm going to be all over the place, but it's okay. These one-year contracts are genius, I think, because it kind of makes you play for your contract. Like the Alshon Jeffrey move to the Eagles was 1 year. I believe it's 14 mil. I'm not sure exactly how much, but you have to earn, Dixon, you have to earn your contract going forward. So these one-year deals are doing just that. They're making you earn it. So the Eddie Lacy thing, I mean, obviously coming off of injury, coming off of being a fat ass, you know what I mean? Like he was just a truck. Don't feed him any more Skittles. Who's my final four? I got Duke winning it all. What I'm really excited about this tournament is I didn't get a chance to look at every single matchup, but I did hear on the radio on the WFAN the other day. I said 9 million with a chance to make 14 million. Yeah, so there's incentives. Yeah, obviously. But look, they're gonna play through the contracts. They're gonna try to bust out and ball out and try to get themselves a long term deal. As far as the March Madness, I did see that there's a potential matchup at the Garden between Nova and Duke, if I'm not mistaken. I was talking to my friend Brett and Evan about this, and I was wondering like how much ticket prices would be. That would be something special to see. So I really haven't really done one of my brackets yet. I know it starts Thursday, so I'll go over that. Falcons sign Andre Roberts. Good or bad move? Andre Roberts is one of those guys that will never kind of get past the three as far as a contributor to the team. I think he's talented, and I think it adds depth that they already had. I mean, they have obviously Julio, and they got Sanu, and they got the Gabriel, so like it doesn't hurt. Let's see. Who wins today, Puerto Rico or Dominican in WBC? Dude, Dominicans are the best baseball players in the world. What do you think of the best USA players not playing? Dude, the way I look at it is the fact that you said Duke is going to win UNC all day. All right, well, you know, pick your poison. But what I think USA, as far as this WBC goes, like when it first started, it was awesome. You know, something new, something fresh. Everybody enjoyed it. And Carlos is a Villanova fan. Well, that's good. When the WBC started, I thought it was a cool idea, and it's something brand new. Oh, got Jarvis Jones expected to sign with the Cardinals. Cardinals are always stacking up on D. I think they re-signed their other linebackers, too. Join the Blue. I like donations. Nah, dude, I always said Duke because that's the only team that's really, like, I get texts every day. I get texts every day from Evan, like, how good is Duke? I mean, like, they're going to win it all. So, I haven't watched much college basketball this year. It's not as much as I wanted to. What was I saying before? Shit, see, it's all over the place. You won't see all the way. Best college football stadium and fans. Well, Baza, I have a confession to make, and it stinks because I should do more of this. I have not been to any college football games live other than Rutgers, which is in New Jersey. So I have not been to Notre Dame. I've not been to Ohio State. I've not been to Penn State. I haven't been to any of these places. Ah, Mike, yeah, back on the WBC. Yeah, so I don't really go to college football games as much as I should, because college football over the last couple of years has surpassed NFL as far as like intensity. I mean, I'm always going to tell you NFL's better because that's the way I was raised. So anyway, what the hell? Yeah, WBC. So it was cool when it started and all the like mainstream players were playing and I was excited about it. But now as it seemed, like, guys get hurt. You know, look what happened to Teixeira. When Teixeira went down, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, come on. You know, like you can't lose these real important guys on your squad because they want to go play for their country, like, 3 weeks before the season started. So like I can't get behind that. That same thing, like the dream team, it's in the summer, like the summer Olympics and stuff. Only Rutgers game I haven't been to. They faced North Carolina. I think I was there in 2007, 8, and they went against North Carolina and got steamrolled. So like, and I honestly don't think that this move to the Big Ten is good for them at all. I mean, it's going to be a long, hi Brett. It's going to be a long, long transition for this Rutgers program to be relevant. I mean, it was nice to see in the Super Bowl that there was so much Rutgers representation. You know, it was cool. Like, you know, you saw a couple guys playing. But again, it's one of those things where you make a transition into this and it's rough, you know, it's real rough. Your opinion of LeVar Bell being a moron saying he was better than Jordan. LeVar Bell saying he's better than Jordan. Son better be. First of all, you said Curry. I think Curry is the most overrated player in the league. Brett will attest to this. I do not like Steph Curry. I think he's only one dimensional. I think he just shoots the long ball and that's it. There's nothing much to him. He doesn't play defense. I went over like a Mount Rushmore of top five, top six players in the NBA with Brett and Evan the other day. And it was like a toss-up. And I don't know how many of you guys are NBA fans, but, you know, it was easy for me. Number one would be LeBron. I think I don't like him personally. He's always burying my Knicks. But he's the best overall player. And then, you know, guys like Leonard and just, you can't take out Durant and Westbrook. They're both up there. Lonzo Ball. Yeah. Lonzo Ball. Okay. Saying he's better than Jordan. Well, to me, overall, Jordan's the best player to ever live. It's just one of those things I can't get behind anybody else. Harden, Leonard, LeBron, Durant, Davis. That's what Brett said yesterday. He said you had to include Davis, but the problem was his team sucked. So it's hard to do that. So here's a shout out to Zevia. But yeah, his team's no good. Scottie Pippen? No, he retired. Sorry, Tony. So once again, this is like going like 10 minutes over what I wanted, but fuck it. Let's just keep going. It's good for content. I like to keep my podcast under an hour. And I guess I don't have much filler as far as, you know, there's a lot of free agency things I want to talk about. Obviously, I'll run the card top to bottom of WrestlePro. Orlando's coming up. I cannot wait for this. Like, it's going to be how much you get for that advertisement. I should, right? I'm looking into it. I'm actually looking into one sponsor for the podcast, and one of the guys are trying to help me out. But we'll see what happens. It'd be nice to get paid to do this. As a Cowboy fan like me, who would you like to pick first round? Also, your opinion, NFC, KC, Orlando. Yeah, Dallas, it's an easy need. Now that you locked up all your receivers for the next like 4 or 5 years, you don't have to worry about that. You do have to get a tight end. I'm worried that Gavin Escobar isn't the guy. So I think, nor is James Hanna. So they might want to think tight end like third round. But first and second round, I'm thinking have to address defensive line and you have to address secondary. You have to. There's no other needs. Where, you know, even with the retirement of some of these guys from on the line, we have depth there. We can make moves there. Collins can move the right tackle. There's a lot of moves to be made. What do you think happens to Romo? Does he stay a backup in Dallas or start elsewhere? I had a conversation with my friend Snee, who the Snee name is, yes, he's cousins with the former offensive lineman for the Giants. When I talked to him, I thought at this point it was kind of selfish for Jerry Jones to be doing what he's doing right now, because I'm a Tony Romo guy, and when you're told, like, okay, you're going to be released at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, and it doesn't happen. Why? Because now there's a little inkling that there could be possibly a trade suitor, okay, like where you have the Texans or the Broncos trying to trade for you. So I would say, okay, fine, let's wait. Ooh, excuse me. Then no teams come back with a trade offer. So then what? Then what do you do now? Then you release them, right? Like, you go back to the original plan. But now I think there's a desperate need in Houston for a quarterback. They're not going with Cutler. Like, there's rumors that Cutler can go down there. That's not improving your team. They're a good quarterback away from a deep playoff run, I think. Had they had a quarterback in the playoffs, you're telling me they wouldn't do better? I mean, they smoked up on Oakland because obviously Carr was out, but, like, you don't think they could have given a better run? Look how close that Texans game was against the Patriots. They're a good quarterback away from winning that game, I think. So they need Tony Romo right now. They need him. So the fact that they won't part ways with, like, a third-round pick, I mean, that's just stupid. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. Right now, my dad said it the other day, and I always take his word because, you know, he's an old-school guy, but when he has his feelings, they usually come true. He thinks Tony Romo's the backup for Dallas next year. He says, you know what, enough's enough. It's not going to happen. So he's not going anywhere. So it would kind of be disappointing at the same time because he's not going to be able to play, barring any crazy Dak injury. Yankees prediction this year record-wise. Well, I love what they're doing now. I mean, they're 13-4 in the preseason and spring training. I know it doesn't count for nothing, but those boys are swinging the bats. They're all swinging. So it's great to see. And I think Didi Gregorius is going to have one of those years where he's up for MVP. I got a good feeling. I mean, he's hitting the ball very well in spring. The pitching staff worries the crap out of me. It really does. Being a Yankee fan, I can't get behind the fact that we have Tanaka, and then it's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, there's not much. Like, yeah, Pineda was good, and that's only if he's rubbing, like, tar on his neck. And then you had, like, the kids coming back. Severino's coming back, and, like, CeCe's coming back. You don't know what he's going to do. So, to me, I think if we can get, like, 88, 89, max 90 wins and get ourselves in that playoff game, that one-game playoff, I'll take that. It's unfortunate because I really hope it's not, like, one of those total rebuilding years where it's just melee and we wind up looking like the Mets before they actually got good. Who do you go for next year? Manny Machado or Bryce in a heartbeat. I think Bryce is the best player in the NFL. MLB next to the kid out in Anaheim. Trout. I think he's going to be the next star. I think if you sign Bryce now, which is kind of crazy because next year his contract's up and he's going to be, my prediction, and this might sound ridiculous, he could be the first ever, like, $500 million player. Like, that's the market we're in right now. And it's kind of sad and it's kind of defeating. It makes my salary look like legit. Every time he swings the bat at, you know, in warm-ups, he's making more than me. But when you measure it together, it's like one of those Trout. Right now. Whatchamacallit. Yeah, so Harper is the guy I want. I think that he would be the face of the franchise immediately. You could build around him. They have the tools in place, but again, they need pitching more than anything else. So they're not going to go anywhere with the pitching staff they have right now. It's one of those things where, I don't know, I can't get behind this pitching staff. I don't think they're going to stay healthy. Like, I'm almost saying, like, I hope CeCe goes like 13-12. I think that's like a success for CeCe Sabathia this year. It sucks. It's not a good winning percentage at all, but it's getting us the wins that we need. It's a rough transition, man. Rough transition. Molson, what's up, dude? I was just talking about Blue Apron. So, you gotta give me an update on that. I'm trying to get a sponsor here. Vinny Cenzo, congrats on your, SWF championship. I'm sure it was hard fought and, good stuff on that. I think I only like two of the five guys. I think just you and Banks. Everybody else can go scratch, really. Especially the Bieber looking kid. I don't even know the kid, and they're just like, used to fart into his guitar for. I don't know, but look, you can't see it. No, you can. This is a Bernie Williams hat. He's one of my favorite players ever. Him and Jeet. So yeah. So anyway, as I said, didn't want to go too long with this. Kicked in the heads on its way. Thank you, Gino. Love you too, Cenzo. I'm going to see if I can add this to the end of the podcast after. I'm going to add this after the entire content. So after the last exit song, check out for Live for 5 or Live for fucking 20, whatever this has been. It's been way too long. So, yeah, I think that's it, because I'm going to wrap things up, and then I'm going to record the podcast for about 45 minutes and go from there. Mount St. Mary's and my one in New Orleans. What are your picks? I don't fucking know. Let's go Mount St. Mary's and Wake Forest. Go with that. Let's see. Like, obviously, every weekend when I used to give you and hand you money, that means I was losing my bets. So I don't know why you would take my bets or my picks for college basketball seriously, because I honestly just... Fuck, Mary Kill, Romo Prescott. Tom Benning. F, marry, or kill, Romo Prescott or Elliott? I'd probably... Oh, man, this is tough. I can't no-sell the whole Q&A. I got to answer everything. I would, Rich with the Mount Rushmore cheese. Mozzarella, top. American, two. Cheddar, three. Four would probably be Monterey Jack. How many are Mount Rushmore? Four? I think it's only four. Back to Benny. Fuck Prescott. The guy's a stud, man. Marry Romo. I'm a Romo guy, and I guess I'll kill Zeke because he's going to wind up just getting way too much trouble, man. Like, I can't stand it. It's an article, but it's starting to surface that he's, like, grabbing boobs and shit and on spring break. I'm like, come on, man. Just get with it. Jay Enterprise, Eddie Jackson, Coach D. Kill Coach D immediately. Stab him in the throat if he's not dead already. I'd bang Ed Jackson. And then I guess I would, Carry? Fuck, carry or kill? Oh, marry. I'll marry Jay Enterprise. He seems like he's got good representation. He's got Bronson now. He sat next to me at cardio commentary the other day, and it was fun. I told him to jump on, and he didn't want to jump on with no permission from Buck. That was a smart move. That's the next thing you know, you don't need a new voice on there. It's like, who the fuck is that doing commentary? So send over your Kicked in the Head so I can edit that in. And then, like I said, I'll add this to the end of my episode this week. Thank you guys for supporting. Thank you guys for logging on. Thank you guys for subscribing. Please, if you guys do subscribe, go on iTunes, leave a review, leave a 5-star review. It helps with the algorithm, meaning when people try to search on iTunes, like, I want to listen to a wrestling podcast or I want to listen to a sports podcast, mine will pop up a lot quicker. So, as far as a search engine, so I'll get more listens that way. The numbers have been great, and Tony is, you're welcome. For what? But anyway, send them the link for a pool. Okay, I guess Dan Sobey wants everybody to join his March Madness pool. So that's cool. And what else was there? Yeah, so definitely thank you for subscribing. Thank you for all that stuff. I appreciate the support. Oh, that's what she was saying. You're welcome to. Got it. I'm a moron. Yeah, so we'll end it with that. Next stop, Orlando. For everybody coming down, we're going to have a blasty blast. We got a suite with, I believe, Chris Payne, Dipsy, Fala. There was somebody else. Bowens. And I think that's it as far as the suite. But, yeah, Orlando's going to be great. Thursday's our show. Friday and Saturday, I'm going to be at WrestleCon itself helping out Ryback with his signings and stuff. Saturday is the big day. Room full of meat. You know it. We're gonna find a couple, what do you call it? Floridians to come back and join us and hang out. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Saturday, 3 p.m., I'll be recording live through the podcast movement for Destruction 101 down there, so it should be fun. Escorts, there you go. Cheap. Get like fucking Disney characters and shit down there. Like, I'll take Minnie. yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm excited about everything going forward. A lot of commentary bookings coming up. Definitely cool. And I couldn't do it without all you guys being cool and supporting me and sharing my stuff. And my Twitter account's going crazy lately with a lot of followers and shit. So that's pretty cool too. So with that being said, I will end this now. Thank you guys for tuning in. And as I said, I'll add this to the end, and you can listen back to all the tomfoolery at the end of that. All right. Later, guys. I don't know how to fucking end this thing. I don't even end this thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, the old finish button. Cool. Have a good day, guys. Enjoy the fucking snow. A lot of people got, like, nothing. I saw a picture. Gino got, like, zero. Gino showed me a thing. It was on Snapchat. It was, like, just rain in Belmar. So I guess the people down the shore kind of lucked out. But I don't even know what the hell we have out there right now. I think it's, like, 6 to 7 inches. It's a lot of likes. Who's that, Malcolm going nuts with his stupid profile picture, by the way? Amazing. Mark Carino did a fantastic job on these promos, by the way. Everybody looks like $1 million. I did not get a chance to do it because I was helping out Tom Pritchard, and then before you knew it, the show started, and I said to do it after, and I looked like shit after because I'm just, like, just a mess. But, yeah, so thanks, guys, and I'll see you guys later on. Enjoy the snow, make an igloo, all that shit. I'll talk to you guys later. We'll be right back.